Like, okay, fine. Okay, these sheets are long. I'm not necessarily going through everything, but at some point when we first did this tree last year, again, like we did last week, I had this right philosophical idea that really stood out for me from the halachic issues that I wanted to share at the time. What I called it here was right eloquence in tefillah, but specifically it came out for me from the issue of whether or not you can and when you can daven in other languages. Now this is it's a fascinating sugya, but for me the reason that for me the issue that really emerges from it, and that's why I want to look at it, is as follows. I think that in the popular discourse on tefillah, we have gone very much to the extreme. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but if people who focus on things like, well, it's just important to talk to God because he's your father and he's always listening, and talk whenever in whatever language you want because a parent always listens to their child and things like that, right? And it doesn't matter how you say it, just speak from the heart, things like that. Which, I'll be honest, that if you read through what Chazal have on tefillah, this is not, definitely not the only voice, maybe not even the dominant voice, of how we view tefillah. It's just not. I mean, part of it, I think, is that, you know, Chassidut, in particular of Nachman, has been phenomenally influential over the last, whatever it is, 150 years, right? Where there's, right, tefillah for people isn't just davening in shul. Tefillah is also his bodidus and the forests, whatever they do. Forests.
Forests.
Forest. Trees.
Are we
arguing
the pronunciation of the word?
The woods.
No,
nature.
Exactly what he had to do with forests.
So that's what he does. Where they go out and they meditate and scream. You're in spot. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so good. So what I want to do is introduce you to a little bit of a halachic topic, which I think speaks to this issue and raises an important question about tefillah that I don't think is talked about enough, at least in popular discourse, okay? So you look for a second at source 2. Okay, the Gemara says, Elu ne'emarin b'chol lashon. These are the tefillot that are allowed to be said in the things that are allowed to be said in any language. Parshat Sota, Vidui Ma'aser, Kriyat Shema u'tefillah. Okay? These are the things that can be said in any language, right? And it goes to a list of all these things that can be said in whatever language. Among them are tefillah, right? And Shema. Tefillah means Shemona Esrei, means the Amidah.
Oh, so not the rest of
them. No. Right? Now, if you look at Rashi on the right-hand side, Rashi thinks that the simple pshat is Perush, going back to what we said earlier, right? Can you understand the mission against the Gemara? So if you see what Rashi does, he says, Perush kol adam bil shono shu shomea. What does it mean in any language? Whatever you understand. La'afuke al-midi she'eno omer l'madai she'eno omer b'loshon paras, meaning someone from media shouldn't speak in Persian. Im'eno shomo, if he doesn't understand it. Of a b'chol lashon, right? But b'chol lashon mashma b'ein shomea b'eino shomea. On the other hand, at first glance, that's not what it means. Basically, the Gemara is going to say, B'chol Lashon means whatever language you understand. What does it sound like in the Mishnah?
You can do whatever language you want.
Whatever you want.
That's,
right?
The
Gemara lo mefarish achi. Okay, the first thing he notes is that B'chol Lashon is ambiguous.
He's not using like the Mishnah to argue on the Gemara. He's just arguing with the Mishnah.
Right, I mean, he's saying the Mishnah doesn't sound like... No, he's arguing... No, he's saying the Gemara doesn't sound like starting with the Gemara. Or not arguing. He's saying the Gemara... He's saying the simple pshat in the Mishnah B'chol Lashon means any language, whether you understand it or not. Arguing with the Gemara about the pshat of the Mishnah. Correct.
What he's saying isn't pshat. He's coming up with a separate pshat.
Or he's accepting the Bavli, whatever. So now if you look down at 3, the Gemara says, why tefillah. Why are you allowed to say tefillah in any language? Rachmehi. Kol hechi, the boy matzli. It's, you're asking for mercy. It's supplication. So, in any language that you want to request, you can. Now, if I just froze you there, what does that make you, right? How do you react? Right? What is that? If I just pause there, what does that tell you? Right? The Gemara says you can daven the Amidah in any language because it's rachame. It's a request for mercy. It's a supplication. V'chol lasha, v'chol hechi deboy, every one, matzli, you should daven. What does that tell you? Well, for sure, but what is that simple statement where the Gemara sort of takes it as obvious, doesn't bring a proof, it just says, why can you daven the Amidah in any language? Why can you say, because it's bakasha, you're requesting your own God, so ask however you can. What does that make you think about in tefillah?
It explains what the purpose of it
is. And what's the purpose?
To
understand it or to communicate something, or whatever you understand, so that's what you're communicating, right? I mean, that seems to be what the Gemara is getting at. But again, the Gemara pushes back. And the Gemara says, tefillah b'chalasha? Really? Are you allowed to daven in any language? V'amar of Yehuda, but Yehuda says, la'olam al yishal adam tzrachah b'loshan aramit. Never pray in Aramaic. The Amar of Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, kol shol tzrachah b'loshan arami, ein malachei asharet nizkakin lo. If you pray in Aramaic, the angels will not pay heed to you. I'm going to bracket for the moment the question of what angels are doing here, right? I spent a lot of time last year when we were learning Sota in Bikiyot, doing that in Agadah this year. The fish ain't malachei asharet makirim loshan arami, because the angels don't understand Aramaic.
Is that, like, I thought the PowerPoint was about, you know, supposed to be in Aramaic, so that would go straight to Hashem.
No, nothing's in Aramaic. Nothing's allowed to be in Aramaic.
That involves, second
Aramaic. And we'll see. Right, or Kaddish, which is also in Aramaic, but you're not supposed to daven in Aramaic. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, ha b'loshon yachid, ha b'yachid, ha b'tzibur. Nope, you're not allowed to. Or Kaddish. Right, or Votzion. Very good. So what does the Gemara answer? The Gemara says, no, it depends on whether you're in yachid or Tzibur. Right, and then the Gemara goes on and says, do angels really not understand Aramaic? And then the Gemara has a proof that they do, and he says, well, maybe only Gavriel understands it. Don't ask me what any of this means. That only Gavriel is like European, the rest of them are not, you know. Right? Gavriel is the Malach from Switzerland. So he understands all languages, you know, like whatever. Right? Ah, very good. Okay. So let's deal with this. Okay? So the Gemara says that you can daven in any language, but not in Aramaic. And then the Gemara says, "Abiyachid avitzibur." So, what does any of this mean? Let's figure out what any of this means. So,
this is talking about Shimon Esrei, though, isn't it?
It's talking about Shimon Esrei,
so then
which is the paradigm of tefillah. Which is the paradigm?
If you think you can't daven in Aramaic, it should only be found in Shimon Esrei.
Yeah. And what about everything else? Everything else you can daven not in Aramaic, or everywhere else? There's no exception for Yachid Tzibur, and you can't daven in Aramaic under any circumstances. Okay. Yeah, good. Fine. So let's see the main sheet that Rishoni. By the way, when it says Aramaic, do you think it means only Aramaic?
No, but that's just thinking.
No, I'm asking you.
It should mean every language.
So, okay, good. Good. So there's two ways of reading it. One, in theory, is to say angels understand all languages except for Aramaic, right? The other is to say, no, the point of this is that they only understand Lashon HaKodesh, and the reason they picked Aramaic was because it was the lingua franca. Right, is what people spoke, right? And they're saying, don't daven in the colloquial, only daven in Lashon HaKodesh.
And does Yachid mean by myself, or does it mean this question?
Oh, very good. And Josh asked him, what do you mean Yachid? Yachid meaning if you're davening not with a minion, or if you're davening a tefillah that is not a minion-like prayer. Good, so let's look at the Rishonim. So if you look at 5, okay? Yacholit balo b'chaloshon shiirtze. Uperish rav alfas davka b'tzibur. Aval b'yachid lo yitbalel ela b'lashon hakodesh. The Rif says, you're only allowed, how do you read the Gemara? That you're only allowed to daven in other languages, presumably any other language, if what? Here, Shlomo. Right, you're only allowed to daven in any other language if what? If it's betzibur. If you're betzibur. But if you're a yachid, you must daven b'lashon hakodesh. What does that mean? There you go. What does that mean? Simple read of the riff. What does that mean?
It means that you can't use any other languages even for the betzibur part.
It means that what? For what? For what can't you? Is it Amidah? Is it the Amidah? Is it talking about Shmona Esrei?
Yeah.
Only the Shmona Esrei? It's not clear.
Yeah.
What is it?
Doesn't say.
How do you know? Maybe he's saying that what? Right? The only time you can ever daven, not in Lashon HaKodesh, is within a minyan. And otherwise, you always have to daven in Lashon HaKodesh. What does that mean? So that could just mean maybe only Shmona Esrei, but what else could it mean? You can never pray anything. Meaning, right now, you aren't feeling well, so you want to give a private prayer to Hashem. So what should you do? Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem elokein. Misha beirach avotein. Not, please God, let me feel better.
Which isn't like Rashi. Because Rashi says, when you're asking God, you should be able to.
But you understand, what does the Rif say? The Rif says, if you're only allowed to daven in any language besides for Hebrew. Does he say it's about Aramaic versus Hebrew or Hebrew versus everything else? Aryeh? Hebrew versus everything else, right? Or Lashon HaKodesh versus everything else, right? And he says the only time you're allowed to daven, not Lashon HaKodesh, is Bitzibur. Period. Yesh Mefarshim. Then the Torah says another possibility. Daha darmin yachid lo yitpalel Lashon HaKodesh dafka kishual trachav. Aval kishmedel tefila shel tzibur afilu yachid yachol omra. What's the second possibility? It's not whether you happen to be davening with a minion, but whether you're davening the tefila shel tzibur. What's the tefila shel tzibur? The Amidah, meaning the Amidah, which is the same prayer that everyone else davens, then no matter where you are davening it, you can daven it in whatever language you want. Right? But according to, this is the position of Tosfot, as we'll see, which means that according to this Shita, if you aren't feeling well one day, and you're not davening Shmona Esrei, right, you just want to daven for yourself, I want to feel better, are you allowed to say it in English? No. Only Shmona Esrei. You can translate Shmona Esrei into English, and that's it. You can never daven to God in any other language. Right, that's what it says. You cannot. No, lo yitpalel ella b'lashon hakodesh. Yes, like you can't do it. You can't daven in any other. Right, according to this shita, the only thing you can translate is Shmona Esrei. Everything else you cannot. No, you can, and everything else you can't. Meaning, you have your own little private prayer to bed. And second, and then he quotes the Rush, Vadoni Avizal Katav Daf Yachid Kishuel Tzrachav Yachol Lishol B'Chaloshon Tzirzechud Milashon Arami. And the Rush comes up and says, no, you're misunderstanding the whole sugya, which is, the only thing you can't do is daven in Aramaic, when you're B'Yachid. But, if you are davening in any language which isn't Aramaic, then what? Daven whatever you want. And if it's Aramaic, when you're allowed to daven Aramaic? If you're with a tzibur. Hence, your sitter, which is following the Rosh, what does it say by Yikum Perkan? Don't say the first two paragraphs when you're not with a minion. Why? What? The Yikum Perkan is the Aramaic parts.
No,
Mishaberach is Hebrew. Yikum Perkan is Aramaic. You can't say Yikum Perkan in Yachid because it's Aramaic. That's the Rosh. Oh, whatever it is. No, you're not allowed to say Aramaic. Look at it, whatever it is. But the point is, you're not supposed to say Aramaic. That's the point. Yeah, we still have Aramaic. That's a different story.
Yeah, that's just
hard. Okay. So if you look, that was the summary in the Torah. If you look at the Beit Yosef in 6, 3 lines down, what does he say? Katav Rabbeinu Yonah, Kevin does signa the tefillah biyachid and an emeret el blashana kodesh. Tema hu ala minag shenagu b'chal alam shenashim mitpa'alot b'shar l'shanot. Shekevin shchayavot b'tefillah lo hayala en litpa'alel el blashana kodesh. Rabbeinu Yonah says, wait a second, how do women who didn't really know Hebrew, how do they daven in other language? Rabbeinu Tzarfat. So the Balei Tos, the Rotzin Latim Namek, Vomrim, Sheachid mitpalel atfila, Batzmashim, Balim, Otat Tzibor, right? Exactly what we said, right? Shmonas, right? If you're davening the same prayer as the Tzibor, then you're allowed to do it in English, or Yiddish, or whatever, French, right? Ve'achol la'amra yachid lashon acheret. U'may da'amar av Yehuda la'olam al yishal adam tzrachav lashon arami, zeu kishol tzrachav, kegon shemitpalel alacholeh. And now, if it weren't clear, and he says, what is the example of something you cannot do in any language but Lashon HaKodesh, according to Tosfot? If you're asking davening for a sick person, or shum tsar sheyesh bo bevet, or anything that's going on, aval tefila sheyidua letzibor, but any public tefila, so Shemon Asrei or whatever, any part of set davening, right, which everyone davens, you're allowed to do, not in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay? Why? Vesha tzibor... Right, Vatam Shitzibor Sholin Bakhala Shon. He said, why are the Tzibor different? Because the Tzarchei Tzibor, you don't need an angel, and therefore God himself understands, and you know, God understands Aramaic and every other language. Great. The Rosh says, as we said, that it's only Aramaic that the angels don't understand, and therefore specifically Aramaic is what you can't do. Now it is. I didn't give you the whole Mishnah. I gave you just a little bit of the Mishnah. And there's a reason why I gave it to you the way I did, and you'll see in a minute, okay? So now let me ask you, I'm just going to try to get the contours of the argument out today. We have three main sheets in Rishonim. According to the Rif, when are you allowed to daven in any language? Only when you're bit Sibur, like you're in Shul with a minion. Or with a minion, whether or not you're in Shul, but fine. According to Tosfot, what are you allowed to daven in any language? Set davening, that everyone davens, that you can do in any language. You can translate Shemona Asra, you can translate whatever, but you can't translate your personal prayer. And the Rosh says, any prayer you want, you can say in whatever language you want, as long as it's not Aramaic, which I'm sure is all a problem for you, because when you're feeling sick, the first thing you do is jump to Aramaic, right? Yehei Rava Kadamach, whatever, right? Exactly, right? That's clearly what you do. You don't do it in English, you do it, Yehei Rava Kadamach, yada, 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 yada. Fine. That means, the three main shitot in Rishonim, how many of them think that your private tefillah you can do in whatever language you want? One of three. Okay? Look at Shulchan Aruch and Sebet. Yachol itpalel b'chol lashon shiyirtze. V'hani mili b'tzibur. Aval b'yachid lo yitpalel ela b'lashon ha-kodesh. First position is only if you're in a tzibur. Right? But a yachid cannot unless it's lashon ha-kodesh. Yesh omrim, d'hani mili kisho el tzrachav. Some say it's only if you're asking your private needs. Kegon shitpalel l'cholel al shum tzar shiyesh lo b'veikto. Aval tzvilak vua l'tzibur avil yachid yachol omra b'chol lashon. So, does Shulchan Aruch decide?
No.
He quotes all three. Right? Look at the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham quotes the Sefer Chassidim, and he says, Katam v'sefer Chassidim, Demutav litpaleu b'lashon shemevin, im eino mevin lashon HaKodesh. That it's better to daven in the language that you understand, rather than Lashon HaKodesh if you don't understand. And that's what he writes from 9. If you have someone who fears heaven but understands Hebrew, and he wants to understand, oh, im tavol avanecha isha, or a woman, amur, right, who didn't always understand Hebrew, amur lahen, shemadua tfilot b'lashon shemevinim, ki tfila eina ela b'havanat alev. And what's the Sefer Chassidim's argument? Why is it more important to understand? Because what is the point of prayer? Kavanat halev. Im halev eino yodea ma sheyotzei mipiv, ma moilo. And if your mouth doesn't understand what's in your heart, then what point is it? Lekach tov sheyitpalel b'oto lashon shemevin. So the Sefer Chassidim goes farther. And what does he say? Not only can you, It's better to. And now from the Sefer Chassidim, I want to push back. Mordechai, if you can stay now, it'd be good. Okay, but I see that. I'm not blaming you, but I'm just saying, I want to, right? What I think is at stake comes clear from the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim is even more extreme. Not only can you, but you should. Why does he say you should? What is he telling you? What does he say about tefillah?
It's about understanding.
It's about understanding Havanat Halev, right? And therefore, the most important thing is to understand it. Right? That's the most important thing. And any limitation, this, right, is an extreme version of the Rosh. But it's basically saying, listen, you should understand it. Okay, the angels don't understand Aramaic. What can I do? Right? So, if it's Aramaic, avoid it unless you happen to be with a minion. But what does clearly everyone else understand, right? The Sefer Chassidim is the first one to put a value judgment on it, which is, why is this true? Why should you be able to daven in any language? Right? He's not just telling you halachically, he's telling you philosophically. Why should you be allowed to daven in every language? Because prayer is just about what you understand. And therefore, whatever, the most important thing is you understand. And this is probably what you've always heard, right? Because they're quoting Sefer Chassidim. But what I want to point out to you is, maybe we do Paskin that way. Maybe we do. Except, that is a minority position in Rishonim. Right? It is a minority position. Rov Rishonim think that that's not true. Right? It's more important to do with Lashon HaKodesh. You are not allowed, even in your private prayers, to daven not Lashon HaKodesh. And what I want to ask you is, not halachically, but philosophically, why? What does that tell you about tefillah? Right? Because you've all grown up on the Sefer Chassidim. Right? You've all, I know you've all grown up on the Sefer Chassidim. Right? And if you look at 11, you'll see that the Mishnah Berurah quotes Magen, right? He quotes, Ayin Magen Avram b'shem Sefer Chassidim demutav lehitpalel b'chol b'lashon shemevin v'in lashon HaKodesh. Right? Yeah. Yeah, so what is the other perspective? Right, meaning the Sefer Chassidim says, daven in the language you understand, because what really matters is what's in your heart. Which means that what does everyone else hold?
It doesn't matter. You can say that it matters what's in your heart.
Why?
Because the Menahat HaMotinu is that we daven in
Hebrew. Okay, good. So, there could. So Ellie says tradition. What does Josh say? Why?
Okay.
Why? 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 Good. Why? Why is it about specific words?
Because that was set up by people that was a lot that were a lot.
Okay, good. So there's very good. Okay, so there's the Josh answer. There's the Mordechai answer, which is right as the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Vatam ki lashon hakodesh yeshu skulot rabot mikol lashonot v'lashon hakodesh baruch hu medaber ramei neviav. Right, because lashon hakodesh is special, and God created the world and all types of metaphysical things, and the Anshei Knesset Agdola sent it up, which is what other people. Right. Or as Eli puts it, it's tradition. Right. So you could go in the metaphysical direction, but what is Eli really saying? It's tradition, and therefore what? Okay, it's a very good thing, but I want to push you farther. Good. Well, what's part of our identity? Yeah, and so why should that be in the language that it was said in? And therefore, good, I'm pushing you. Why? And therefore what? And therefore what?
There is no reason to change it.
I don't understand it. Isn't that a good enough reason? Why not?
Because he was supposed to learn it.
What? So you could say you can learn, you should learn it, great, but what if I'm not going to be able to? And therefore what? Why?
It's teaching us that it should be more part of our.
And, okay.
To prevent assimilation.
So we could go in a million directions, right? There's an assimilation tradition, but let me wrap it all together and say, okay, there's all of that wraps into, that whole constellation of ideas points to something, which is, right, if I ask you, why is it that people like quoting, I don't know, the Gettysburg Address in the original, right? 80, right, you know. Well, right, and they don't say, as the yeshivish version, as the yeshivish rewrite goes of it, be'erech a yovel and a half ago, right? If you've never seen it, right? There's a yeshivish rewrite of it, right? But it starts off be'erech a yovel and a half ago, right? Well, why do we not do that?
Because
Why is it not the same thing? Or why do people like the King James translation of the Bible? Why do they like it? Well, why do people connect to it?
Because part of the thing is not what was said, but how it was said.
Why? Good. It's about how it's said. Why? Why is that important?
Back to what the definition of tefillah is.
Good. This is why I want you to think about it. Because, what is it? So, here, I'm going to give you a very... What I think this hangs on philosophically is the following dichotomy. Right? How do we refer to God? Right? The most central dichotomy in prayer, right, was summed up by Rabbi Akiva in two words. And that is? What? Not that Rabbi Akiva, different Rabbi Akiva. I mean, same person. Right? But it's he had two words that he summed up tefillah in, which we say on fast days, we say Aseret Yemei Teshuva, right? Two words that go together. Avinu, Malkeinu. Right? Avinu, Malkeinu. Here's my philosophical argument. Okay, we'll come back to it next week, but I want to get you thinking. Avinu, Malkeinu. If you imagine God as Avinu, as a father, right? Which model of prayer makes more sense? It's about the heart. It's about talking, about communicating, right? But we forget that part of prayer is Malkeinu. When you're talking to a king, right? Is it only important what you say? No, you come prepared, right? You come prepared with, as Ellie said, tradition, with eloquence, right? It matters. Like, we care. When there's a formal speech, right? We care how you say it because that shows respect. You don't just say, right, just because you get your point across, that's not enough, right? That's not enough, right? When something is formal, when there is dignity and honor and respect, it matters how you say it, right? We care how you say it. That matters, right? And I think that on a philosophical level, the more you err, as it were, on the side of the only thing that matters is understanding tefillah, what you're saying is, tefillah is more on the Avinu side of the dichotomy, right? You're thinking God is our father, and therefore what matters, we're talking to him, and that's what matters. But you're missing a very important part of tefillah, which is God's also a melech. And therefore, yes, this is the language of our heritage, our tradition, right? It matters how you say things, and maybe b'diavad, you can speak in whatever language you understand, but you're missing something. And I tend to think that modern discourse has gone Mina katzela katzet, right? Where they've forgotten that aspect of tefillah entirely, right? Which is? Oh, for sure, right? So, but I think that to begin to understand the philosophical implications of this is to recognize this. Now, I see we're going to, right, we'll definitely have to take another week on it, which is fine. I'm not going to go through everything here. But what I want to point out one more thing before we finish with it. For now, just to sort of set the dichotomy, because, right, I just want to give you an example of where this comes up in tefillah, okay? In Yamim Noraim, there's a piyut that we say, I think it's technically a krova, whatever it is, right? And we quote a pasuk in Mishlei. But what do we say? We say, Ochila la'el, achalefanav, eshalam imenu ma'alne lashon. How do we start off parts of davening in Rosh Hashanah? You remember this? Right? You know the song, right? Right? That, okay? If I don't know if they probably didn't sing it. I don't know if you sang it. Whatever it is, right? What does that mean? I turn to God. What does that mean? I ask for what? What's ma'ane lashon? Eloquence. Asher b'kalam ashira ashir uzo abia renot bad mifalav. Amongst the community, I will sing his praises, his strength, and express his praises for his creations. And then he quotes Mishlei, La'adav ma'archelev. What can man do? Arrange his heart. Umei Hashem ma'ane lashon. And from God comes eloquence. Hashem shvatai tiftach ufi agit tilatecha. God, open my lips. Break out. What does that mean? How do we start off Rosh Hashanah davening? Do we start off by saying, oh, help us feel the proper things? What do we say? No, we said that's our job. But we start off davening by asking what? That God say it. Why do we care? Well, do you ever ask, why do we care? Why don't we just say, but with our hearts, what are we telling God? Setting up our heart is up to us, but you make sure it comes out right. Why do we care? We've just acknowledged that it's that we mean our hearts are in the right place. And what do we pray to God? Right? Give us eloquence. Why? Right? In fact, and then how do we finish that piyut? Hashem svatai tiftach ufi agiti latecha. Guess what? That's when we start every single Amidah. We don't start off every Amidah with make sure our heart's in the right place. What do we say? Make sure I say it right. Right? I agree with you. We have to come back to it next week, which is, okay, there is the Avinu part. But I tend to think that the reason that in the end of the day, the majority of Rishonim think you can't, under most circumstances, daven in whatever language you want, right, is because prayer is also about speaking to a king. It's also ritual, right? It's also, there's dignity and regality to it, right? And it matters how you say things. That's important. You can't just, it's not, right? People, right, nowadays, I think we're brought up on the Russian Sefer Hasidim, which is the only thing that matters is talk to God in whatever language, right? Whenever you feel it, make sure you feel close to God, and that's important. I'm not saying it's not, right? But that's missing something very central to prayer, which is, no. It's not just about your heart. L'adam marchelev u'me Hashem, right? Manel Hashon, right? We beg God to give us eloquence because it actually matters how we say things. It's not enough for your heart to be in the right place. That's very nice, but it's actually not enough. Right? And yes, I feel like I'm polemicizing because I am, right? Meaning, I'm not saying it's not about your heart. Obviously, that's important too. But I think that we've gone to the other extreme. And what I want to do next week to flesh it out is to analyze Shitas HaRambam and show you how I think, right, as well as the Mishnah Berurah and the Sefer Chassidim, and the Chacham Sofer, right, is to just point how there is a dichotomy. I don't disagree with Ari. There's both. But how it's important not to forget it. And while in the Rishonim, right, it does sort of swing in the direction of you have to say it in a specific way, in it, right? We've gone to the opposite extreme where, right, the culture is so influenced. Right now, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying that's not also part of it, even though, admittedly, according to Tosfot and the Rif, is going and doing Hespodus and asking God for things mutter? Not unless you do it in proper Lashon HaKodesh, with proper grammar, right? And according to the Rambam, you have to preface it with a bakasha, right? With shevach, right? And finish with hoda'ah, right? Meaning, as we'll see, according to the Rambam, even your private little prayer when you're out there in the forest should be first, modeh ani lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Gevoteinu yihi ratzon bilfanecha, right? Modim anachnu lach, right? Not like you see in the movie Ushpizin, if you ever saw it, which is, right, brother? Right? No, that's not it, right? That's not, right? What? Nothing. I'm just saying that what you learn is that for the Rif and for Tosfot, that's usser. Going into the forest and just screaming as your prayer, right? I'm not surprised, right? Okay. Oh, good. What? I don't know. Good. So I want you to keep this in mind. I want you to think about it. Next week, we'll try to flesh it out. If I were speaking to a king, I would be saying something that I